Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm going to read three verses, verse 10, 11, and 12. Then I'm going to need you to give me about 5 minutes to lay some background information about this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 10. The land that you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drink rain from heaven. Verse 12. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are constantly upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. The book of Deuteronomy is a series of speeches that was given by Moses just prior to his death and just prior to the invasion of Canaan, the promised land. The design of the book of Deuteronomy is simple. It is a rehearsal of the old law. Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, is addressing that generation that has just survived the 40 rigorous years in the wilderness wandering. Moses here is not giving them a new law, but what Moses is doing is he is rehearsing the old law and amplifying that law to that generation. And he reminds that generation of all that God has done for them. And then he reminds them that as a result of all that God has done for us, you need to love and you need to be faithful to God forever. Yes. Now, in the passage that I just read, Moses is addressing part of their history. Now, stay with me. Here are a people who for 400 years plus had been in Egypt as slaves. Here is a people who saw God deliver them from their bondage through Moses. Here is a people who came to the bank of the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is in pursuit. These people saw God miraculously part the Red Sea. They witnessed that the part of the sea that they walked across on dry land is the part that swallowed up and drowned the Egyptian army. These people had come to the base of Mount Sinai. They set up camp and they were there for at least a year. These people witnessed Moses go to the top of Mount Sinai. These people saw the fire and the smoke billow from the top of that mountain. These are the people who had decided in their own mind that Moses has been gone too long. And so they made a calf of gold and they danced around that calf and they engaged themselves in idolatry while Moses was on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. Because of their sins, these were a people who were then led into the wilderness, and for 40 years they wandered in that wilderness, but even in that wilderness, God took care of them. Here was a people whom God had loved. Here is a people whom God had blessed. Here is a people whom God had provided for and had protected. And now the generation that survived the wilderness are about to invade the promised land. So Moses tells them in verse 12, look at verse 12. Moses tells them, listen, this is a land that God cares about. And the eyes of the Lord are constantly upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. Now here's where we're going. In the context, verse 12 is having reference to the promised land. But in application, the words of verse 12 can be made much broader. They can have application to the children of Israel, and brethren, they can have application to us. The eyes of the Lord are continually upon you from the beginning of the year all the way to the end of the year. Now, let's think about that and apply it to Israel. The eyes of the Lord were upon Israel from the first day they entered into Egypt in bondage until the last day when they stepped out of it. The eyes of the Lord was upon Israel when they stood at the Red Sea. The eyes of the Lord was upon Israel as they crossed that Red Sea. The eyes of the Lord was on Israel as they made camp at Sinai. The eyes of the Lord was upon Israel when they made that golden calf and engaged in idolatry. The eyes of the Lord was upon Israel the first day they walked into that wilderness until 40 years later, the last day they came out of that wilderness. Now, Moses is about to go the way of all of the earth. Joshua is now going to take over the reins of leadership. Now God's eyes will be upon them as they invade Canaan. Now the eyes of the Lord will be upon them as they cross the Jordan River. Now the eyes of the Lord will be upon them as they invade Jericho and win. Now the eyes of the Lord will be upon them as they invade Ai and lose. So Moses is saying, listen, there's something that you need to get a hold of. There's something that needs to register in your mind. And there's something that as you head out into Canaan, you must never, ever, ever forget this. The eyes of the Lord are constantly upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Brethren, what a thought this is. What a thought this is. The eyes of the Lord are constantly upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. when we were kids, growing up in Sunday school, there was a song that we sang. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. That children's song states one very simple truth. God sees us everywhere. Wherever you go, the eyes of the Lord are on you. Whatever you do, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. And in 2023, on the very first day of the new year, and on the very first Lord's Day of the new year, it behooves all of us to live with the awareness that we are all always under the constant inspection of an Almighty God. So here is how to make 2023 different from every year that's preceded it. Understand that God doesn't make spot checks, but that God is always watching. In 2023, you're going to have some ups and some downs. In 2023, you're going to have some mountains and some valleys. In 2023, it's going to be good and it's going to be bad. But don't forget, every moment of 2023, the eyes of the Lord will be upon you. Every single Sunday, every single Lord's Day of 2023, the eyes of the Lord will be upon you from the beginning of that day to the end of that day. Don't forget, from January 1st, to the end of January, the eyes of the Lord are going to be upon you. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and the rest of the week, and February, March, and April, the rest of the year, the eyes of the Lord will constantly be upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Now here's the truth. The truth we're looking at is stated. The eyes of the Lord are continually upon you from the beginning of the year to the end. Now, from that truth, let's look at two thoughts. The eyes of the Lord, and knowing that the eyes of the Lord are constantly upon us, it makes Christian living easier. It makes Christian living easier. Look, there's no other way to say this, just say it. The world is crazy in sin. Our culture, right now, our culture is spiritually insane in sin. Now, because of that, it doesn't take a lot of effort to sin. But what has always been true is that we always live better when we know we're being watched. Let me illustrate. Service ends today. You go get in your car and you're going out Grossbeck. You're going out Grossbeck because God lives out that way with some of us. The speed limit on Grossbeck is 45. My Lord is right. But when nobody's on Grossbeck, it is just impossible to stay under 45. What makes it worse is that when you hit about 14 mile, 13 mile, the speed limit jumps to 50. My Lord. But when Grossbeck is empty, it is just impossible to keep that thing down under 45 or to keep it down under 50. Now, January 1st, here it is. Nobody is more guilty of this. Nobody is more guilty of this than Deborah. I'm gonna start by confessing her sin first. But listen, here's the deal. It's like it's impossible to do it. So you're driving down Grossbeck, and then a police car gets behind you. What was the hardest thing in the world to do 10 seconds ago has now become the easiest thing in the world to do. 45, well, that's no problem. 50, I'm still going to go 45. Now listen to me. What is the difference? The difference is you know you're being watched. Did you hear me? The eyes of the Lord are constantly upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And brethren, I wished we believed that. I wished we believed that. Every time you take a liquor bottle and turn that thing up into God's face, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Every time you gossip, eyes of the Lord are upon you. Every time you light up a joint, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. You said, but I got this medical reason. Yeah, but you didn't get it from a script. You got it from a guy standing out there on the corner. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the face of the whole earth. Have we forgotten? Have we forgotten that everything we do is under the watchful eye of a God from whom we can hide nothing? Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both the good and the evil. Listen, you're never alone. You may be by yourself, but God sees you. And you never get away with anything. Well, I got away with it. No, you didn't. Because the eyes of the Lord are constantly upon you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. But if I will remember that truth, then I can realize that will make Christian living easier. I'm not getting away with anything. I'm being watched. My mother used to tell me, I'm leaving the house. Boy, I'm watching you. I'd be seven blocks from home going. Listen, I believed it. And because she put that in my head 10 million times, that helped me to behave myself. When I recognize God's eyes on me, it makes Christian living easier. Second thought. The eyes of the Lord constantly upon us, it makes our troubles less burdensome. God sees you when you walk into the funeral home and stand next to a loved one who's lying in state. God sees you in the hospital as they are rolling you into the emergency room. God sees you. It makes troubles less burdensome. God sees your broken heart. God sees when you think the sun will never shine again. God sees your pain. God sees your tears. The eyes of the Lord are constantly upon you from the beginning of the year until the end of the year, and there's no burden and there's no adversity you will face this year that God won't walk you through. Now, leave Deuteronomy. I want you to flip over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus makes an incredible statement here. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Now pause right there. In the ancient world, a penny would get you two sparrows. In the ancient world, sparrows had very little, basically no monetary value. They're two for a penny. Look at the rest of the verse. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. even as something as insignificant as a sparrow, when it falls to the ground, it doesn't fall to the ground without God taking notice of it. Now, verse 31. So don't be afraid. What? Don't be afraid. Yeah, but I don't know what, man. Don't be afraid. Yeah, but what? Don't be afraid. Why? You are worth more than many sparrows. If God Almighty takes note of what is insignificant, how much more will God take note of something that is significant? The argument that Jesus is making here is an argument he makes several times. He's going from lesser to greater. If God cares about the lesser, he obviously cares about the greater. If God cares about a sparrow, he will obviously care much more about you. And so the conclusion of that is, listen, stop being afraid. Now, let's make this very real. In 2023, you are going to have some bad days. In 2023, you're going to have some problems. In 2023, you may enter a hospital. In 2023, you may lose a loved one. But may God help us all, beginning right now, to understand that regardless of what happens in this new year, that every moment of this year, the eyes of the Lord will be upon us. From the beginning of the year to the end of it. Well, if I believe that, that's going to make Christian living easier for me. And I'm going to stop having thoughts about, well, will I get caught or not get caught? You're going to get caught. And if I remember the truth of the eyes of the Lord, that will make my troubles less burdensome, because I will know on the worst day of 2023, God is still hooked up with me. Now, let me give you two thoughts in closing. Are you listening? No, no, no. Listen. The eyes of the Lord were upon you in 2022. Are there any sins you are carrying over into the new year? Taking down one calendar and putting up another calendar does nothing for your sin problem. Whatever you are involved in, whatever you have been involved in, and whoever you've been involved in it with, don't carry it over. Second thought. If you are unsaved, if you are not a Christian, if you are a Christian that has been away from God, and maybe this is the first time you've been here in months, and we're glad you're back. But understand this. what the Lord is doing right now is the Lord is looking to see what you're going to do. He's looking to see what you're going to do. The eyes of the Lord ought to motivate us. The eyes of the Lord ought to motivate us to get right and to stay right and to leave here and this year understand the eyes of the Lord are constantly upon me. I would suggest that Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 12 is a good verse to write down somewhere and hang it up at home. And when you head out in the morning, look at what it says. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. This morning, if you're away from God, you need to come to Him. This is the time you need to do it as together we stand and as we sing.